Hello, my name is Hayden Thompson and welcome to the Pack Heavy Podcast. Now, this show is really for anyone in the hospitality and food manufacturing industries that uses flexible packaging to get their products to market. Here, I'll be talking about everything food packaging and providing you with the information and knowledge that you need to get the right food package into your hands and into the hands of your consumer. I'm really excited to be interviewing guests just like you who have traveled the path that you're on so that you can learn from their successes and failures and engage in the mindset required to go all in on your vision. Now, I personally call this mindset the pack heavy mentality, and it is driven by deliberate actions such as making the decision to go all in on your vision for your business. So I'm talking about gathering market intelligence, putting a strong plan in place, organizing the appropriate resources, and then executing on your strategy with precision. So if you're packing heavy on your vision, you're definitely in the right place, and I'm really excited to have you here. Good morning and welcome to episode number 10 of the Pack Heavy Podcast. On today's episode, I'm extremely excited and honored to be joined by Brad Bodnarchuk. Today, Brad and I will be talking about the Pack Heavy mentality and mindset in business and the systems and structures that you can apply to your life and business to help you gain clarity and focus in this space. Among many things, Brad is a father to two beautiful children, Alina and Cole, partner to Lindsay, and a coach, podcaster, and now most recently an author. Welcome to the show, Brad.
Oh man, what an intro. Thank you so much for having me here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome, mate. I've been listening to your voice on your podcast for quite some time, mate. And we were just saying before we kicked off that it is kind of surreal that here you are on my show now.
Yeah, and I said I use the word honor, and I don't use that lightly. This is really, it's fun for me and exciting for me. And obviously, your listeners may or may not know, we have a relationship outside of, you know, this podcast. And
yeah,
I'm just so watching you grow over the past less than a year really has just been so inspiring to me, and I want to say thank you so much for inspiring me, and thank you for again hosting me on this podcast. Super exciting to be here.
Yeah, no worries, mate. I mean, you know, when I knew that you were coming onto the show, I went back and did some research on you and sort of was really thinking about when I first reached out back in July last year. And I guess to give some context to everybody out there, and I sort of did touch on this during my first podcast episode when I sort of gave some insight as to who I am and you know, what put me into the seat and in front of the microphone. But some of you may know that in March last year, when COVID hit, I was laid off from my position at Salt Spring Coffee as food service sales manager. And, you know, throughout that period, there was a lot of uncertainty in our life. And you know, I was really drawing on your insights that you were providing on your half a dozen hospitality podcasts at the time, when you were sort of giving a little bit of commentary on COVID and sort of what was happening in the Vancouver hospitality scene. And, yeah, so there was a point throughout that period where I said to Ash, my wife, I'm like, I need to reach out to this guy, Brad, and have a chat with him, because I found that I was at a bit of a crossroads, you know, and I didn't really know what the future looked like, and you know, having a family to provide for and also huge goals and aspirations in life, I sort of really just wanted to, yeah, speak to somebody that could potentially offer some guidance. So I shot you an email in July. And I guess, you know, we've been in touch ever since.
Yeah, wild. Yeah, I actually remember where I was sitting in the home that we're in right now.
Yeah.
When we were, I think we had a phone call.
Yep.
And then I think we exchanged some text messages after that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like I said, just seeing where you have come, even where myself, like the growth that I've had as well, has been really exciting. So I feel so lucky that you took it upon yourself to reach out, and I consider you to be a good friend of mine, and I'm so thankful that we had that interaction that day, and we continue to kind of build that relationship. So I'm really grateful.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Likewise, I feel exactly the same way. It's you know, the other day on Monday morning when you and I were having a chat on the phone, I mentioned the Tim Ferriss podcast where he was interviewing Hugh Jackman. I've written it down because I sort of wanted to quote Hugh Jackman's statement about working with a coach and the value that I see in working with you as a coach. And I think, you know, Hugh Jackman sort of knocked it on the head, because I relate really closely to what he said, because we're both Australians. And, you know, as Australians, it's sort of considered a bit silly or maybe a little arrogant or a bit la-di-da to work with a coach. And maybe that's just something that is ingrained in the culture, or maybe just, I don't know what that is. I'm not too sure. But the way that Hugh Jackman said, you know, even Roger Federer has a coach. you know, and he's the greatest tennis player of all time. And, you know, he has a full-time coach. So why wouldn't he want, or why wouldn't any of us want to invest in working with somebody to help us improve ourselves and in our life? Mm-hmm. And I know that you've also got your coach and you've got the background of working with Nii as well. Mm-hmm. So I guess if we could kick off in that space of working with a coach and the value that that has brought to my life, what is the value of working with a coach brought to your life? And where did that all begin?
It just, for me, it began, I think I've shared the story with you kind of off the record,
yeah.
and on my podcast, I've shared it a bit as well, but it literally was a day where I was just overwhelmed, not in a negative way, but in a very positive way, overwhelmed with emotions that caused me to make a move. And the move was hiring and looking to align with a coach. And essentially what had happened for me was I had all these things happening for me, around me, within me, if you will, and I just wanted them to be different. I wanted my experience of life to be different. I felt like I was this racehorse, if you will, that was being kept in a barn. I use that analogy a lot when I'm speaking with some of my clients, is you need to open the barn doors a bit, and you're the one that's in charge of that. So you have to make the first, like, no one else is going to open the doors for you. You need to do that. So I took it upon myself to reach out to like you mentioned, my coach Nii, who's just been an incredible resource for me, and has turned as well into a friend, which is always a unique dynamic going from a coach relationship to a friend. But for me, it was a very clear moment, mentally and emotionally, knowing that it was silly for me to think that I could do this on my own. I mean, if we look back in history, both recent and we reach way, way back, no one did anything really special on their own. Sure, there was accolades given to individual people, males, females, but if you look around them, there was this supporting cast, and a lot of those people are kind of in the shadows a bit, but those are the people that are really there day in and day out to help prop that person up. And that's what I was looking for, was someone to keep me honest and someone to see within me perhaps what I couldn't see within myself. And I will forever be investing in myself with coaches and mentors, and I encourage anyone else out there to do the same. It doesn't mean you have to go out and get the world's most expensive coach, but find someone that is doing something that you would like to do. Find someone that's living a life that you feel like you want to live. Shoot them a message and somehow pay them for their time, whether it's, you know, you buy them some steaks and send them to them, or, you know, send them flowers or whatever it is. Make sure they understand their time is valued. And I can't emphasize enough how important that coach or mentor is in our lives, because life is so uncertain, mm-hmm. and so demanding. It's nice to have that reliable resource as we battle through the challenges that life hands us.
100%, mate. I feel exactly the same way. Like, you know, I've always been a pretty driven and motivated person, but, you know, at times in the past, you know, when I reflect, I've missed the mark in some areas of my life. And, you know, especially like when I look back at the goals that I'm ultimately looking to achieve, I'm like, if I could reduce the amount of mistakes that I make because I'm working with somebody that's previously made those mistakes, or that can, you know, be a sounding board, or could offer some guidance or provide some structure and support around those areas of my life, there's nothing but value in that, you know, in that part of the world.
Yeah, it reminds me of the quote, and I'm not going to do it any justice. I'll paraphrase it as best I can, but it's a smart man learns from the mistakes. And a brilliant man learns from the mistakes of others. And that's basically what I try to do, is I try to just hack my life. And whether it's actually just reading books as well. I mean, there's so much information right now, even on podcasts as well. Like, guests that you've had on your podcast are probably shedding more information and education than most people would get in a university program. Do you know what I mean? It's all there. It's just you have to be open to it and be willing to learn from other people. And that's also a big piece that I think should be mentioned, is, you know, dropping that ego a bit and understanding that maybe I don't know it all. And that was my story for so long. I was a massive know-it-all, and still find myself today acting that way. But it's when we drop that facade and we're vulnerable and we're saying, like, you know what? Actually, I have no idea what I'm doing, or I have no idea how to do this. And finding someone that perhaps does, aligning with them and just investing time and energy into that relationship.
And it's a fine line, isn't it? Because there are a lot of people, or, you know, you find it could be quite easy to throw your hands up in the air and say, I have no idea what I'm doing, and then reach out for help, but want that person to do all of the work for you, rather than actually doubling down and looking within and understanding that, well, no, I'm the one that needs to do all of the work here. I'm the one that needs to grind it out, but I've got somebody that I can lean on and that I can leverage to help me get through this period in my life. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's just a good coach doesn't give you answers at all. Actually, a good coach just asks questions and gets you to discover the answer. And for me, what I hope to do with all of my clients is just provide those aha moments. I think life is just this massive, frustrating riddle. And when you find out the answer to it, you're like, that was the answer all this time, was just that thing. And that's what I work to do with my clients, both in a group setting, but also one-on-one, is just ask the questions that perhaps they're not asking themselves. And to steal what you just said, is like, allow them to work within, which sounds kind of airy-fairy and woo-woo, but that's where the work needs to be done. None of this is external. It actually is all internal.
Yeah, it is. You know, the other thing that I wanted to touch on at the start of the conversation with you, Brad, is like, we've got so much in common. You know, we're both, you know, father to two young children in a partnership and with our partners. And obviously I'm married to Ash, and, you know, I feel as if we're both going through the thick of it right now together with the young kids. And, you know, we always touch on that in our conversations as well. And, you know, some people, you know, prior to being a father, I had no idea what it actually meant to be a father, except for what I saw in my dad. And I'm really lucky and grateful that I had an amazing father and still do have an amazing father. And, you know, I reflect back on my childhood and the influence that my dad and both of my grandfathers had on me. And, you know, you've actually got a program out right now that you're operating called, The Unstoppable Mind, which is a mastermind for men, you know, and fathers out there at the moment. So, you know, you and I haven't been working in that space together. We're sort of more working in a longer term 6-month program at the moment, which is about, you know, the essential systems and tools and processes and habits and sort of mindset. But talk to me a little bit about the work that you're doing with dads out there at the moment, because I'm really fascinated by that work.
Yeah, really. And I'll be honest, the reason I decided to launch that mastermind was just because I felt, for me, there wasn't really a platform that was bringing men together that were trying to better understand this new identity as from boys to men to now fathers. And really, I just wanted to shed some light in regards to things like, at least how I've experienced it, how things like relationship changes regarding your intimacy with your partner, what that looks like once you have a baby, also shedding light on like how to actually be a father, how to actually play an active role, how to work with your partner. And for me, I just felt like there wasn't any accessible resources, at least part of me within my community or my power circle of friends. And I just wanted to be the guy to say, hey, look, I'm open to providing this platform and supplying the space for us, and then everyone coming together and sharing. And the unique part about this concept that's a little bit different from what you've been exposed to with Life the Recipe, the program, is the mastermind really is that, like, everyone is bringing something to it. And we even have like guest experts that would come in and speak to a specific topic, whether it is love, whether it is intimacy, whether it is fatherhood, whether it is how to spend time with your baby. For a lot of guys, that's something that we don't really know how to do. I mean, I've watched men hold babies and look like they had no idea what they were doing. And understanding that's okay, but we have to get over that first hurdle of like, okay, how do we embrace our kids and where do we fit into this? Because historically, speaking just in regards to that father, baby, mother kind of triangle that has existed, the father really hasn't played an active role, and a lot of it's been by choice. You know, back in the 60s, the dad would come home from work and maybe kiss his wife and then get a cocktail and go watch TV until dinner, kind of thing. And now I think what we're seeing is the need, but also the desire from the females in our lives for us to play a more active role. So really, through the mastermind, is giving men, especially new dads, tools to understand how they can kind of re-identify in 2020, 2021, and how they can show up for their partners and for their families, which has been really rewarding for me. It's been an education as well.
Yeah, no doubt, mate. It's a huge undertaking, you know, having a family and playing that supporting role and, you know, really trying to shape the lives of your children. And yeah, man, I respect everything that you're doing out there. And I really love the photos that you throw up of the kids every day and, you know, watching that happen because yeah, I can relate to it every single day.
it's as beautiful as it is scary. It's as stressful as it is sweet. I mean, having kids is life. And that sounds again, kind of, what does that mean? But like, it's life and that life is that. Life is hectic, but life is also easy. Life is crazy, but life also makes so much sense. And kids just bring that out and they amplify what life is. And I've been blessed and you've been blessed as well. We have healthy children, which is like such a gift from God or Mother Nature, or whatever you want to call it. And I write down every night three things I'm grateful for and three awesome things I did that day. And there aren't many days that go by that both of those things, the awesome piece and the thankful piece, don't involve at the very least the kids and Lindsay.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, mate. And I do exactly the same thing. And, you know, being grateful for everything that we've got in front of us is just so important to recognize. Mm-hmm. The pack heavy mentality. All right. It's something that I've identified and that I talk about a lot on this podcast. And I'm really interested in having a conversation with you around sort of mentality and mindset, and because we discuss it a lot in the program as well. But I wanted to get your take on it and sort of apply some of your structure and clarity around it and offer our listeners some words of wisdom, if I can say that from you, Brad, because, you know, ideas really are commonplace in the business world and in life. Like, everybody has an idea, but then it's one thing to have an idea and to talk about it and, you know, maybe even get started a little bit towards turning it into something tangible and into something real. But it's so frequent and so often you see that those ideas die and they just fizzle out. And then they were just that. They were an idea that you reflected upon and you went, oh, that didn't really go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then it's something else, and it's really uncommon, although, to have an idea and then make the decision to go all in on that vision and back yourself and put a strong plan in place and provide some structuring, you know, gather some market intelligence and do your market research, organize the appropriate resources, and then execute on the strategy with precision, right? That's another thing. And that's really how I identify the difference between, you know, packing light and packing heavy. And it's really funny, since I've sort of coined that term, we use it in the office as well when we're talking about prospects. Is this guy packing light or is he packing heavy, kind of thing, you know? And it's catching on, which is awesome. But, you know, I've really noticed it since I've started this role at Food Pack, because it's so frequent that we all have somebody that contacts us and they will just push the workload onto us and say, hey, this is what I want. Get back to me, versus somebody that's like, this is what I want and this is what I'm looking for and this is the research that I've done. Can you work with me to build this idea out? It's a very clear difference. And the most successful conversions that I have with our prospects into clients are with the clients or prospects that are packing heavy. You know, they really know what they want. It's not airy fairy. It's not all up in the air. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about like the daily mindset that you engage in and what you discuss with your clients around mindset and about going all in on your vision. And even, you know, let's touch on creating a bit of a vision, how you go about creating a vision and creating some clarity around it.
Yeah, I think the first thing that actually came to mind, if we can just for a moment, as you're telling that story about, you know, people having an idea, and let's just call it an idea for this scenario. Let's call it inspiration.
Yeah.
For me, inspiration is all around us, and inspiration will choose you at a certain time. And perhaps you and I have even discussed this theory before, but I borrow it from Elizabeth Gilbert and her book, Big Magic. If your listeners haven't read it, I highly recommend it. I'm not sure if you and I have talked about it, but in the book, what Elizabeth Gilbert says is essentially like inspiration is a living, breathing thing. And when it chooses you, like you with this podcast, like you, you know, reaching out to a certain client or with, you know, your listeners, if they're in the phase of like starting a project, when they have that idea, when that inspiration comes over them, that literally is inspiration choosing them, and they have a choice in that moment what to do with it. And to your point, what you said at the kind of the start of the question was, you see a lot of people that, you know, they have a great idea, but then they lack the follow through. And then there's other people that they have the great idea and they're very serious, but they pack heavy with it. I think the difference is that it's a self-awareness piece, but it's also an understanding that inspiration is indeed in itself a living, breathing thing. And if you don't move on it, if you don't nurture it, if you don't at least attempt it, it's going to pick up and literally go and find somebody, like literally someone else's body, who knows where, all over the world. And then I guarantee you a few years, weeks, months, whatever the time may be, you're going to see the exact same inspiration that you have and go, oh, that was my idea. Right. And I think that is, for me, the big difference between doers and dreamers. And we talk about pilots and passengers.
Yeah.
It's people that take that inspiration and they put in the work. And when you were kind of describing that pack heavy mentality about like aligning your resources and doing your research, I love that. It's just not me. Like I'm more of a move first, think second kind of thing. Like my thinking is very much intuitive, within my belly, within my heart. And then I allow for all of the other, you know, market research and data analysis and stuff to fall in place, because I am so in tune and have been given that gift with what moves me, that I know that if it moves me, I can get so excited about it and so passionate about it that I can move other people. Like, perfect example would be Life the Recipe. Perfect example would be The Unstoppable Mind. Perfect example would be my book. When anyone, and you in this podcast, and you watching you in this role as well, is like, when you embody that amount of excitement, when you embody that mindset, bringing it back to that, people are intrigued by that. It's like watching an artist perform on stage. They are just uninhibited in that moment. And if you look at the audience, all eyes are on that person in that moment, because they are being so true to that original inspiration that took them over. So I'm not sure if I answered the first part of your question or the second part, but inspiration for me is the first step in understanding, okay, what am I doing? Where am I going? And how am I going to get there? Inspiration is literally the universe speaking to you and saying, this is what you need to be paying attention to. So if for you, like this podcast, I don't want to keep coming back to it, but this podcast is a great example. Like,
yeah,
you, for some reason, it just kept showing up for you in some way, shape, or form. And then you decided to pull the trigger and make the move. You've got the gear, you've arranged for the times, and now you're doing it.
Yeah, no, I see exactly what you're saying. For me, the podcast was more a decision of getting out of my own way. You know, like I knew that it was the right thing to do. I knew the value that it would bring to my life and also to the success in my career that I was looking for. And I always had this idea in my mind that I wanted to do something like this. But there was also that second little dude sitting on my shoulder saying, who are you to do a podcast? You know, who are you to sort of bring this into the world, and what value can you bring? And I just decided to get out of my way, you know, and that in itself was a decision to sort of pack heavy in to some degree and, you know, take action on that inspiration that you were talking about as well. So you're suggesting that, you know, you've got an idea. The first step is to just move, just get started.
Yeah. And I say that when I speak out loud, I say this to my clients. I probably said it to you before, like when I'm talking to you, I'm actually talking to me as well.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing about being a coach and having the luxury to be able to be a coach is I learned so much throughout my interactions with my clients. I learned so much through interacting with you, and it's such a gift. So coaching in itself is part of my steps. But yeah, for me, it's as soon as I'm like, hey, I should start this, I just, you know, I register the website, or I start the Instagram page, or I start journaling, like whatever it is, I do something to create momentum and create movement. And I'm a big believer that motion creates emotion.
Yeah.
If you sit still on something, there will be no passion there. There will be nothing. And I'm of the mind that if I don't, then what? So my talking about more of the mindset is I live in a very idealistic world. I live in a world that most everything I look at, actually everything, is through rose-colored glasses. The glass is always half full for me. And that's not because I'm naive. It's because I am starving in every single moment to find an angle that I can leverage. I'm starving in every moment to see, okay, this is challenging, but there has to be a positive here. And a lot of times when it seems like there is nothing, like there is literally nothing that can be gained from this, it is through that pain there is growth. And I just, like I said, I'm starving for that. So whether it's, and you and I have talked about this, whether it's the kids freaking out or Lindsay and I are having issues or my business is just like completely dried up, I welcome that. I welcome it to a point where people look at me like, is this guy actually, like, is he sane? Like, is he delusional? And it's not that I'm delusional. I'm very much attached to my reality. I very much understand what's going on. It's just, I look at everything from a lens of, how can I make this, how can I take this experience and allow it to make me a better father, a better entrepreneur, a better podcaster, a better friend, a better man, a better son, all those things. Whereas I find it so easy, especially nowadays with, again, playing the victim being such a big piece right now. Everyone's a victim. Instead of being a victim, actually owning it and saying, how can I pivot this into a positive? And that's one thing I really feel like, if I can, that I offer to my clients when I work with them is stripping all the noise away and saying like, what is actually real right now? Like what's actually true? And then helping them, holding their hand if necessary to say like, okay, look, yes, this isn't ideal. But have you considered this? Have you considered what this will do for X or what this will do for Y? So it's not a mindset of, for me, it's not a mindset of ignorance. It's a mindset of I'm starving in every moment to find an angle that I can leverage to make me better. And I know that it exists. Mm. And I believe it exists.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, throughout this part of the conversation that you've just been discussing, I can't help but think of Jocko Willink and his extreme ownership that he talks about as well, and taking extreme ownership over every part of your life. It's just so important, and understanding the role that you play in everything that can potentially go right or go wrong. You know, I think we have a lot more control over our life than we like to believe. And I think Aubrey Marcus even said it the other day, as soon as you understand how much control you have over your life, it's kind of a scary thing, because then all of a sudden the burden of, yeah, exactly. The burden is on you to correct all of those errors. And there's a lot of pain in making those corrections or course corrections if required, but the value in making those course corrections is just, you know, it'll take you places. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're getting started with an idea, you're taking movement on it, you know, you're making movement on it, you're taking action, you're getting momentum happening. And then if there's something I know about you, Brad, it's that you are a very structured person, because you've provided that structure to all of us in the group. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about some of the tools that you apply or structure that you apply with your clients as well, to provide that structure and clarity and, you know, to really allow people to have sort of that maximum control over all of the different facets and moving parts of their life.
Yeah, I think, and obviously you've been exposed to this, so this will be just new for your listeners, but I think it's the kind of the biggest, most valuable pieces that I offer to my clients through the program and through working with me would be something as simple as, and this is new, we're not like breaking ground with this, this is a new science, but something as simple as identifying, you know, almost like a filing cabinet system for your life. So we call it in the program, we call it the ingredients. You can call it machines, you can call it whatever you want. But what I promote and what I suggest that my clients do is identify, like we literally write down and build out, okay, what are the biggest, and this, I encourage your listeners to do this like right now with a piece of paper, like what are the biggest pieces of your life, the biggest ingredients of your life that are either moving you forward or holding you back, pardon me. So things like wealth, things like health, things like, you know, relationship with, say your partner, if you're in one, or relationships like your friendships, you know, mentality, mood, all of these different, pieces that really make up who you are and make up your daily experience of your life. And then we go even further into that and we write down what would be the sub ingredients. So what are like the actual actionable items that make up, you know, your health. It would be things like your the food that you consume. So maybe meal prepping would be the actionable piece, or maybe it would be something like exercising. And then again, giving that an actual physical task that we can measure and execute on. So whether it's like, you know, running 2K or lifting weights for 90 minutes or you have 45 minutes of yoga, whatever that is. So I work with my clients to really refine that piece, which is, again, identifying almost like a filing cabinet system for your life, so that when something comes at you, you're able to then put it in the appropriate filing cabinet or put it with the appropriate ingredient. And how I've taught it through the program and with other individuals is if I come to you and I say, like, what are the most important, the top three ingredients of your life? And you don't know, it would be the same thing as me coming into your house and we have dinner together. And after the dinner, I'm helping you put dishes away. And I say, hey, Hayden, where do the plates go? And you're like, I don't know. Like, that's wrong. You definitely know. So if we can know to the detail of our kitchen, we should know the same detail of our life. So where do things go? What is prioritized? And then I think the second most powerful tool, which is a tool that I borrow from my coach, is the act of blueprinting. So the idea is every night or every afternoon, depending on how you work, is you're actually sitting there and forecasting and planning out the next 24 hours. So you're getting ahead of it. And the idea with a tool like blueprinting, is so that we start off our following day with a sense of control. Like, going back to what you were saying about Aubrey Marcus, like, kind of echoing the, like, you are ultimately in control. By blueprinting, we give ourselves this sense of ease, this sense of certainty in what is a really uncertain world. And then we're revisiting that the next morning to, again, give us a sense of ease and a sense of calm. Whereas I feel like the majority of the world, this is a broad stroking statement, obviously, but the majority of the world wakes up every day and just reacts. And while that may be well and good, it's very difficult to achieve specific goals and outcomes that you have for yourself if you're constantly just reacting to what's happening around you. So for me, blueprinting is a tool that puts you in the driver's seat of your life and allows you to take on each day with this, again, this sense of ease, knowing what is coming up. We even talk about anticipation, like, what could go wrong with the day? Like, even doing those things is such a healthy practice to put you in the mindset to allow you to, if I can coin the term or share the term, allows you to pack heavy. If you haven't done that work, it's gonna be very difficult for you to go quote unquote all in on something if you're constantly just in a reactive state, a fight or flight, if you will.
I completely agree. And those two tools that you mentioned are the two tools that I probably find the most valuable out of the set so far. Like, my monthly and weekly setup is critical for me. And then my daily planning and blueprinting and mental conditioning, all of those things are just completely critical because, you know, if you think about it, where does the future lie? Like, there's no, like, physical future. It's not sitting in front of you anywhere. It lives between your ears. Like, it's just a figment of your imagination based on your experience of the past. And, you know, the way that our brain works is that it anticipates what's going to happen, you know, and we're really good at predicting the future to some degree, but to actually put it down on paper and to think it through and anticipate and plan, it just, you enter each single day knowing basically what is going to occur and how you're mapping out. And it also gives you a lot of control over your time, which just seems to slip through our fingers. Mm-hmm. And then the other valuable thing that I find about it is, you know, you and I discuss it quite a bit. As parents, there needs to be so much flexibility built into our day because we just don't know when the kids are going to wake up and, you know, dinner time and all of those sort of, you know, things are definitely set in stone and bedtime is set in stone, but things can go sideways really, really quickly. So we need to sort of have contingencies built into our day so that we're still achieving the things that we want to achieve, but it also takes into account that, you know, the future is uncertain as well. So yeah, I love those tools, Brad. The other tool that I really want to talk about is the ruthless self-evaluation too, and also the major keys. And the reason I want to talk about those is because I think they really apply to business in a lot of ways. And the way that I mean that is, and you know what, actually all of these tools apply to business because I'm doing it myself. I sort of separated my life into sort of two spaces. I've got Hayden, the career, And then I've got Hayden the Life. And so both of them work in unison, and I'm actually building sort of a blueprint where I'm building them both in together, because I find there's a lot of crossover between the two. So I'm sort of building my own map. But, you know, for a business owner out there, you know, it's to map out the oncoming month, whether it's a marketing schedule, or, you know, whether it is, you know, you're taking into consideration, you know, your ordering patterns and schedules and your finances and making sure your cash flows in order and so on. You know, that's all, it should be inherent as a business operator that those things are occurring. And I'd be interested to know sort of what percentage of business owners out there are doing it and which what aren't. However, like we were saying, it applies to life and it applies to business. So let's talk about the ruthless of self-evaluation and how that applies to life and how we can apply it to business as well.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'll give it like the overarching explanation. Then you can give us the more of the real world, how you find it works for you. But the idea and why this exists is it's a weekly tool that you use that, for lack of a better term, is just, it's a look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. It's am I working the way that is in alignment with what I say I want to achieve? And it's basically how we do it within the program and how I do it with my other individual clients. Is it's a simple set of questions that we look at every single week, and you're basically assessing from every aspect, like, how did I show up? Was I successful? Was I not? And this is just you sitting quietly by yourself with your computer or a piece of paper and being very, very honest with yourself, which for a lot of us, and myself included, is difficult to do sometimes, because we want to show up a certain way to other people in our lives. But having this time, this clarity, and this tool is imperative to really allow for us to see the gaps in our game. That's really why this tool exists. But I'd love to hear you articulate how it's been, you know, utilized for you in your life and in your work.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's talk about the tool itself. So yeah, basically I've got mine set up as a spreadsheet. So I've got all of my ingredients or all of the different facets of my life mapped out on a spreadsheet. And for each little facet, we give it a rating out of 5. And we look at it weekly, and then you're benchmarking it against the previous week. And your goal is to make incremental increases or positive movement. And it gives you an opportunity to sort of see where you're falling short, as you were saying, and go, okay, this week my communication with Ash wasn't that great, for example. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what, my goal is to be the best father that I can possibly be. And that's, you know, that could potentially be, that is subjective in a lot of ways, but for me, that means that I'm present with my kids. When I'm with the kids, when I'm with Zave and Hazel, I am there 100%, giving them 100% of my attention, and I'm not on my phone, and I'm not thinking about the podcast, and I'm not thinking about food pack and all of the things that I've got to do. And, you know, I'm present, and that's easier said than done, because I do find myself on my phone a little bit more than I should. And Ash is really good at reminding me of that. But when I am doing my ruthless self-evaluation, I sit down and I'm going, okay, how did I rate myself out of 5 in all honesty? And some weeks I'm a 3.5, some weeks I'm a 4, and very rarely ever do I hit a 5, because I think that there's always room for improvement. But yeah, it's an opportunity to be real with yourself and take extreme ownership over all of those areas of your life. And, you know, you and I have suggested it before, you know, life is so busy and you'd like to have control over all of these facets of your life. And, you know, we've also got another tool called an AM and a PM script, where you sort of map out the first couple of hours of your morning to the nth degree, just so that you can, you know, fit in all of the pieces that you want to include in your life, whether it's getting up and have a 15-minute stretch and, you know, you want to drink a liter of water a day. Well, let's fit that into the AM schedule and get that in before breakfast. So you can sort of ensure that you're getting ahead of the day as well. There are some days where that doesn't occur, because Zave will wake up and I want to be dad. I want to sit with him and play Lego for the first hour of the day before I have to get breakfast started. And that's awesome. Like, I wouldn't want to start the day any other way, but it just means that I need to be flexible and shift things forward into the PM. And that's great. But there are some days where things get missed. So I need to factor all of that in and go, you know what, maybe I need to reevaluate my AM script here, or maybe I need to make an adjustment on my PM script, you know, a couple of nights a week, so that I'm getting into bed at 9:30 instead of 11:30 every night. So, you know, especially if I feel that my energy levels aren't that great. So as a business owner, the way that I can sort of like reflect it back into that space is, what are the key areas of your business? If you had your business sort of set up with a dashboard, you know, you've got your revenue streams, you've got your marketing campaigns, you've got your sales campaigns, you've also got, you know, your sort of outreach, you've got your funnel, you've got all of these moving parts in your business. You've got people that you're, you know, that you're managing and you're a leader of a team. And that in itself is a whole category of, you know, in terms of like the way that you approach leadership and communication. There are so many moving parts. And as an entrepreneur and as a small business owner, you're wearing so many different hats. And unless you've got all of those different buckets sitting in front of you that you can evaluate and you can assess, you're never going to know where you are falling short and where you are excelling. Because very rarely as a business owner, or, you know, you might be doing evaluations of other people's performance, but how often are you getting an evaluation of your own performance? So to give yourself a performance evaluation, especially on a weekly occurrence, and if it's an honest evaluation, you're only going to see positive movement in that space. And that in itself is going to give you an opportunity to make positive and incremental movements within your business that's you're only going to reap rewards in. So yeah, and you're also going to see the weaknesses within the businesses, and, you know, where there could potentially be at a critical hire, or where you need to spend more of your time, you know, training different parts, you know, employees within your business as well, and bringing them up to speed so that it makes your life easier too. Mm-hmm. So that's how I see, you know, people applying tools like this. The ruthless self-evaluation was one where I'm like, this is a critical piece that I love to talk to Brad about. What other tools do you think would apply in a small business setting or structure or environment that you think would be valuable, or tools that you use predominantly within your business that you think would apply?
Yeah, I think you kind of mentioned it there when you mentioned major keys. We didn't really jump into it.
Yeah.
But major keys for me is, well, I mean, they're fundamentals. It's fundamental. So major keys are that. So I ask of myself and of my clients to identify three major keys. And basically what that is like, what three things do we need to be doing every single day, both in our life and in our business? But if we're talking just a business model here, then obviously what three things we need to be doing within our business every single day, what major keys that are going to move our business forward, or if we're not doing them, are going to really be impacting us negatively. So again, working with my clients to identify what those would be. And those are different from, like, I worked on, like you and I worked on together or with others, is like, it's not a vital. Mm. It's not something that is done, you know, once a week or once a quarter or once, you know, biannually. These are things that have to be done every single day. So if we take it back and look at more of the, like, the personal life example, something like for, you said, like hydration, a major key for me, I know, is if I'm not hydrated, I don't think as clearly, I'm moody. I don't sleep as well that night, or I don't find my workouts are as good, all based on just, you know, drinking the appropriate amount of water or allowing for time for meditation. Like, these could be, and these are just examples, major keys that you would identify as an individual that need to be done every single day without fail. But understanding as well to that point that stuff will come up, things will happen. And I don't want for anyone listening to this podcast or that follows me on social media already to feel like it's 100% all the time, because it isn't. That's just not possible and not realistic. And while I love living in unreality, I love having unrealistic goals and talking about unrealistic things and then turning them into reality. The reality is that I'm not perfect. You're not perfect, but at least I'm committed to, and my clients like you are committed to, I'm at least going to try to be as perfect as I possibly can be, understanding that there will be days where it's Lego in the morning instead of stretching, understanding there's days where, you know, it's not, you know, time to be intimate with my partner because I'm working late, whatever it is, there will be those days. And I just posted the other day, the stats on Kobe Bryant. I just thought it was such an incredible piece to share. Like, I think it was 15 times in total in his career, he scored 0 points. That's pretty substantial for a guy that went on to win as many championships as he did and score in one single game 81 points, which is the second most in NBA history. Do people talk about those 15 games of 0 points? No, they don't. And do they define him? Not at all. And neither does the 81-point game. What defines him is his consistency and his willingness to not to sound cliche, but get back up and do it again and at least try. Like, why would I at least try? If it's within me, why would I at least try to be the best at this craft, the best at this sport? So if you're a business owner, if you're an entrepreneur, a dad, a partner, a father, son, daughter, whatever it is, why wouldn't you at least try to exhaust every talent that you would be given? And that for me is like, that's the juice worth the squeeze that I get working with clients is when they see like, oh yeah, like why wouldn't I at least try? And then helping them through navigate that, the tools they can use, systems they can use, the mindset they can adopt to going, yeah, this is a daunting task, but shame on me if I don't.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Those major keys are critical for me as well. Like, once you identify what the major keys are so that you're operating at your best or to the best of your ability, it's really enlightening and it's really powerful as well. So for me, for example, like my three major keys are I've got to do a fast every single day. Like if I can fast until lunchtime or just prior to lunchtime, I know that I am running optimally because I know how my body reacts in that space. I like to get in my meditation every single day, whether it's an early AM meditation or a PM meditation, it doesn't matter. But for me, that's a critical piece just to ensure that I have clarity of mind. And I really have noticed the benefit of that. And then the third piece is daily journaling, right? So just writing a page just of what's on my mind, what's bothering me, what's working in my life, what am I grateful for? And just getting that down onto paper sort of really helps me clear my mind. And you know, I feel a sense of control over that piece as well. And getting those three pieces knocked out daily is really critical. And I don't feel myself unless that's occurring. And I think, you know, in a business setting as well, whether you're ensuring that every single day you're checking your cash flow or you're checking your bank statements, or every single day you are evaluating quality of product coming in through the door, you know, or, you know, there are certain pieces that must happen daily. And if it doesn't happen daily, the business isn't going to run to the standard that you're expecting it to. So I think that that's a really critical piece. One thing that I'd really like to get your opinion on or get some words from you on are, you know, right now there are a lot of businesses that are struggling. You know, COVID has absolutely decimated the hospitality industry, as you know. As you know, prior to, you know, Brad Bodnarchuk, the coach, it was Brad Bodnarchuk, the hospitality consultant. And so you're very, very closely tied to the hospitality industry, and you've seen exactly what COVID's done and the struggles that operators are working with right now. To tie it into sort of mindset, you know, life is all of, you know, there's peaks and troughs. You know, and I don't think that you can have a, you know, if you're looking at a wave, you can't have the peak without the trough. It's just impossible. It's just nature that there's one and the other. And, you know, we try and flatten out those peaks and troughs as best as we can, but sometimes life just throws us curveballs. How do you, when you're working with a client and they're talking about, you know, the fact that they're in a bit of a trough, how do you discuss getting them out of that trough? And sort of a recharge formula to get somebody back to an optimal state so that they're back in control of their life.
Yeah, it's difficult because you don't want to come across, and this is where I really want to be clear. It's not about positive and negative for me. It's not about being positive because it's very hard to be positive with someone that's telling you that they can't afford their next month's rent and they have to lay off all their staff. Like, it's very difficult for me to sit there and go, but hey, look at all the positive things. What I really work with my clients that are in, or what I would propose, I would do when someone's in that scenario is, I would actually take them back to day one, and this would literally be just like almost like a meditative process. So if it's in person, great, but the reality right now is probably it's going to be on Zoom or some sort of online platform, and I would ask them just to close their eyes, and I would ask them to take me back to day one. Take me back to day one when the doors, you know, the windows were clean and you were, you know, the music was perfect and, you know, everything was in its place. And walk me through as intimately as you can everything from the smells to the sounds to what's going on like internally for you in your stomach, like in the bones, like what are you feeling? And then I ask them, just quite honestly, can we get there again? And if they tell me like, you know what, I can't. I'm just like, yeah, I'm too wounded, or this is taking too much out of me. It's just, and that's the reality of an industry like hospitality is it asks so much of you and can at times give so little back. But I'm encouraged by most of the clients that I've had these conversations with that really have been very, very close to or have had to sell their businesses, but they re-up with a whole new concept. And they say, like, I can't get excited about this certain concept, but this really excites me. And then we'll start spending time investing in that. But that process in itself can be used in relationships, can be used in your inspiration or your true desire to make a change in your life to get back to a way you once were. Is again, it sounds, you know, it's not like a tangible result where like there's going to be ROI attached to this exercise. But for me, it's a very powerful piece to implement with someone, and asking them to take you back through themselves where they were on day one, and then just asking them, can we get back there? Because I can't do it on my own. I can't do it for them. They have to have the desire, the want, the need, because it is so challenging. Not just hospitality, but any industry. It demands so much of us. And if they're unable to get there, that's okay. And telling them that's okay, and saying like, "Hey, it's okay to move on," and that's that this doesn't identify you. If you want to change industries, if you want to go get a job, work for someone else, whatever the situation may be, that doesn't define you. What defines you is how you carry yourself day in and day out. But that piece, that exercise, dramatically allows for me to understand their mindset and see if it's something that we can work on together, or if it's, you know. They've been too abused, if you will, by the realities of an industry like hospitality that can be so unforgiving or so challenging.
Yeah, that's the truth, isn't it? You were saying before about, or we were sort of touching on Jocko Willink and, his extreme ownership piece, and he's also got a mantra where he says the words good. If something's not working in life and it's not happening, his response is good. Like, this is an opportunity to either resurrect myself or move into a new space, or it's opening up time for me to, and allowing me to work on other things in life. It takes a while to arrive in that place, I think, and it takes a special person to actually like turn around in the face of that defeat or those demoralizing situations and go, good. And so sort of another example of like pulling yourself out of that trough, and I'll sort of use a bit of a personal story here, and it's on a different level. So as you know, like I started my job at Foodpac in September, and we've been in this full-time Life the Recipe program just prior to that. When we've been working on this program, obviously it's a huge buildup of momentum, and you've got, great control over all of the facets of your life. And for me, I've been getting up extremely early and powering through my day and going to bed late and achieving so much and, biting off more than I can chew in a lot of ways, but managing to get it down. And then the podcast launched and it's just been awesome, and I've never been happier in my career. And then Christmas hit, I've sort of lost a little bit of momentum. And it's interesting because I lost that little bit of momentum, and then that extreme exhaustion just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I found it really, really hard to sort of get back to my former sort of prior to Christmas momentum that I had in the bank. And so I'm going through a bit of a process of sort of the way I like to talk about it is like I've ridden this huge wave. I'm back on the beach, and now I have to paddle back out through the waves to get back out there to then turn around and catch another wave in, to sort of use that wave analogy of like peaks and troughs. So I'm turning around and I'm sort of like paddling back into the surf right now. And it takes a lot of energy, and it takes a huge commitment to the daily routine. And that's where I find the value of the structure that you've provided to us all. Tell me a little bit about the recharge formula that we're working with and how that actual daily recharge formula can apply to our listeners out there today.
Yeah, and again, I'll do it in the most simplest way I can so that people can really kind of digest it and understand the idea. And it is really what it says it is. It's identifying what you can do in a moment, whether it's in your vehicle, in traffic, you just finished a meeting, or you're in the shower, whatever the situation may be, what you can do to literally bring you back, to recharge you. And your description that you articulated so well, how you felt like you had kind of like, had gone so hard before the end of the year, and then the end of the year hit, and then there was kind of this, again, I'll steal your word, this trough. And I look at it almost like your immune system. Like your immune system needs vitamins, it needs minerals, it needs rest, it needs water. And that those are your recharge formulas for your immune system. So what are we aware of allows for us to start making deposits again back into our life, into our body, into our mentality, into our heart and soul, and less withdrawals. Because so much of what we do, again, in the program and in life, it's a lot. It's a lot of time and energy spent, and it's a lot of output. So what can you do in a moment that will allow you to feel, because the feeling is really important, that the feelings is emotions, and emotions become our reality, to feel recharged. So I know for myself, I have a certain a playlist of songs I listen to, meditation for me, a cold shower for me, being close and being intimate with my partner, spending time with my kids. All of these pieces I've identified personally recharge me and allow me to feel like I'm able to then, you know, head back into the fray, if you will, or like you were saying, kind of paddle out again when it seems so daunting. So for me, it's again working with my clients through a system of questions to allow them to understand, okay, what can we do in a moment's time to make you feel a certain way, to make you feel more recharged, make you feel less depleted. And it is everything, like I said, from music to reading poetry. One of my clients likes to stare at certain pieces of art. So it varies for everyone. But it's a very powerful piece and something that we need to be doing consistently, because like you witnessed just before Christmas or through Christmas, you felt depleted, and then your body actually, it manifested in your body where you felt run down and you ended up getting a little bit sick and you weren't sleeping enough and all those things. So we have to be really, really aware of, it's great to work and it's great to hustle. And that's like the sexy thing on Instagram. And I shared this piece with you, was like rest is a weapon. Like no one's talking about that. But that could be literally part of your recharge formula is I just go to bed earlier, period.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, build it into the PM script. I completely agree. It's interesting, isn't it? I think Dr. Jordan Peterson talks about, you know, in your early 20s, it's a really good idea to work your butt off and bite off more than you can chew and figure out where those outer limits and where you know, are in life, so that you can bang your head up against that wall and go, all right, I know that if I hit that outer limit right there, that's the end of my tether. And I need to find a happy medium where I'm working to a really high standard and I'm getting a lot done, but I'm not burning myself out and I'm managing my energy and I'm managing my body and I'm managing the, you know, my mindset. So I feel that, you know, for the first time in my life, I sort of hit that wall. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice to know where it is. And it's really, you know, and now I can work a little bit smarter within that piece as well. So, you know, to tie it into, you know, the business piece as well, you know, understanding how you operate as a business owner and understanding the your limitations as a leader and, you know, as a manager and so on is just critical to the whole piece. It's critical to your performance. It's critical to the performance of your business. And it's also critical because as a leader and as somebody that runs an operation, everybody's looking up to you and they'll follow suit. You know, if you're the kind of business owner that's, you know, working 16 to 20 hour days, which happens in a lot of cases in the hospitality industry, and you're expecting that of your staff, you're just not going to get it out of them. You know, whereas if you're looking after yourself and you're saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to cut you out a little bit early tonight. I know we've had a long shift, but I'm going to cut you home early. I know you've got an early start tomorrow. Go home, get some rest. If you're looking after your people just as well as you're looking after yourself, it's going to be nothing but respect, and it's just going to be returned in, you know, multiply higher factors, if that's how I'm going to say it. So, yeah, I think, you know, Brad, we've touched on so much here. Is there anything else that you think that would be beneficial to the listener, or do you think we've covered it all as well?
No, I mean, we could probably do another 4 hours of this, to be honest.
I know.
I really enjoyed this. But no, I think we've covered a lot of things. And I think the biggest piece that I want to leave people with is you know, push hard in your life and be really clear on what you want, but also have empathy for yourself.
Yeah.
Like I encourage all my clients, like put your hand on your heart and be like, it's okay. Like not every day is going to be an 81 point day. Not every day are you going to close all the deals. Not every day are you even going to get responses to emails. Not every day is the, you know, the beautiful person that you're trying to attract going to look like it. Just, that isn't reality, and having empathy for your process and understanding that it is that, it is a process, life is a process. But if you want anything out of it, as far as I'm concerned, from where I sit, is you have to play an active role in that. And playing an active role means getting burned, means getting hurt, means failing, means witnessing and you know, facilitating those moments to happen and not avoiding them, running through them, and then witnessing firsthand how they make you a better person, a better employer, a better entrepreneur, all those things that we've talked about. So I mean, I encourage people to like double down on themselves, but also understand that you need to have empathy for yourself, and there is no such thing as perfect. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, well said, Brad. You know, at the end of the day, that really is also the difference between packing light and packing heavy, isn't it? You know, Do you want to just coast through life? Do you want your business to just coast, or do you want to give it a red hot go? You know, do you want to back yourself? Do you want to, you know, round up, you know, a great sort of entourage of people around you and, you know, inspire people to sort of, you know, walk the path with you in your business and, you know, pack heavy and, you know, enable them and to pack heavy as well. I think there are so many tools that you can apply to your life and structure that you can apply to your business to really move yourself and your business into that space of positive momentum. And, you know, for anybody out there that feels as if they're, you know, lacking some structure and some guidance, I'd highly recommend working with Brad. And, you know, Brad, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you here, mate? And so on.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you. The best way to reach me is actually just my website, which is just bradbodnarchuk.com. All the links there to my socials are there. And also my email address is on my about page. So it's just bradbodnarchuk.com. It's a long one, but you can find me there.
Awesome, mate. Thank you so much for your time today. I genuinely appreciate it, mate. Like I said at the start of the podcast, it's an absolute honor to be speaking with you today, mate.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Super proud of you, dude. I respect you and love you, and I'm so happy for you, and I love the growth, and I love you putting yourself out there, and I will continue to support everything that you do. So thank you for having me as a guest. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome, mate. Thanks a lot. Take it easy.
Cheers. Cheers.
Bye. Thanks for listening today. If you have any questions from today's episode or would like to know more about what I can do to help you achieve your packaging vision, you can reach me directly at hayden@thepackheavypodcast.com. You could DM me on Instagram @thepackheavypodcast, or we could also connect on LinkedIn and start a conversation there. I'll see you next week.